Last week, the city of Madison became the first known municipality in the nation to give equal protection status to non-religious individuals, such as atheists. This offers the same protections to non-believers as those applied to individuals on the basis of race, age, citizenship status, and many other classifications. Annie Laurie Gaylor is with us. She's the co-president of the Freedom From Religion Foundation, which supports this move toward equal protections. Annie Laurie, thanks for being with us today.
Good afternoon.
First, why do you support legal measures such as these?
Currently, the Madison Equal Opportunities Commission and ordinance had said there are about 23 protected classes, and those included religion, but it didn't include non-religion. And there are many literalists out there that would interpret that to mean that if you are an atheist or agnostic or non-believer, that you're not a protected class. And that's what Anita Weir, the outgoing alderperson here in Madison, realized, and I think it was one of her final bidding adieu to Madison, that she thought she would make sure that this was remedied. And I'm ashamed that we at the Freedom From Religion Foundation did not think of this ourselves. So good for Anita, and good for the Madison Common Council, which there was no dissent. It passed it unanimously with 14 out of 20 sponsoring at the end, although it wasn't without controversy at the beginning.
Talk a little bit about the nature of the controversy. What had come up?
Well, it had not been approved by one of the subcommittees that needed to approve it to go on to the Equal Opportunities Commission. And two of our staff attorneys, Patrick Elliott and Andrew Seidel, testified, and that seemed to sway people, and pointed out there's a lot of discrimination against atheists. There's very practical kinds of discrimination and then more symbolic discrimination. There's about 7 states where you're not supposed to run for office if you're an atheist. Now, this is unconstitutional. The U.S. Constitution says there can be no religious test for public office. But nevertheless, these states have not removed that from their books. Here in Wisconsin, we've had to fight a lot with ethnic food festivals that will allow free entry if you have evidence that you attend a church or a mass, discriminatory to those who have not. At FFRF, we've had many, many shops deny us service in terms of they won't print our literature, they won't publish things we want, bumper stickers, they won't do t-shirts. This has been for years and years. Volunteers have been told they can't be volunteers because they're atheists, for example, at soup kitchens and so on. So there is a great deal of discrimination, and in fact, studies show that atheists are at the bottom of the totem pole when it comes to social acceptance. Surveys from the 1960s on that have been analyzed about outsider groups, including African Americans and women and Arabs and Muslims, have shown that all of these groups have made progress except for one group, and that is atheists. And there are ridiculous stereotypes about us, you know, that you wouldn't want your son or daughter to marry an atheist. So when you have a distrusted class like that, that's all the more reason to have protections.
In some of the scenarios you outlined, like not printing or accepting your literature or getting, the word out about your organization through other means, as I think you used the term that it was discriminatory, some might say, well, I'm just practicing my rights under the freedom of speech, and I choose not to distribute your literature or put your organization's logo in my pamphlet or whatever the case may be. Where's the line between discrimination and freedom of speech?
Well, of course, in the last week with Indiana and the brouhaha over the Religious Freedom Restoration Act there, I think that we have seen that there is a line that needs to be drawn. The Civil Rights Act should protect everyone. The Civil Rights Act says, race, religion, creed, color of skin, the National Civil Rights Act. But we are seeing people who are religious use their faith to violate the Civil Rights Act. And that should not be tolerated. For example, we tried to give flowers to Jessica Alquist, who was a 16-year-old high schooler in Rhode Island who had just run a federal lawsuit against a religious banner in her school. She was a pariah. She was going to school with police protection. rape threats, death threats. She had to leave school eventually. We sent her flowers in the midst of this, and we could not find a florist in the state of Rhode Island who would deliver the flowers. We had to go to Connecticut. And the Connecticut florist that filled our order put up a very eloquent statement online at their website saying, what if you were a pharmacist and someone came in needing medicine and you told them, no, I won't give it to you because of your skin or because of your race or because you're an atheist? You could die. What if a grocer said, I'm not going to sell you groceries because I don't like your religion? That's what the Civil Rights Act is there to protect. And that's what the Madison Equal Opportunities Commission is supposed to protect.
We're talking with Annie Laurie Gaylor. She is the co-president of the Freedom From Religion Foundation, which is based in Madison. And Madison is the first known city in the country that just passed an ordinance to protect the rights of the non-religious. How specifically will this new ordinance protect against acts of discrimination?
Well, I think it's very symbolic first. Mm-hmm. It's sending a symbolic message of inclusion. But specifically, there are fines of, I think it's $1 to $500. But probably more important, it empowers the EOC to investigate. So somebody feels that they have been discriminated against because they're not religious and they were trying to rent something or they were applying for a job or whatever it is. They would be able to now take this before the EOC and have it investigated like a bona fide act of discrimination. So it has very practical ramifications. But I think the symbolic are really more important, that this is the first time in history anywhere that we know of that atheism and non-religion has been thought of to be a protected class, that we have parity, the same rights of protection as religious people do, or gays, or blacks, or any minority. So I think society is changing, but it's changing rather slowly in terms of acceptance of non-religious. And so this is a great stride in terms of social acceptance. Made me feel really good.
And, you know, I think I read that this applies to instances of employment, housing, and public accommodations mm-hmm. in terms of the protections. And religion isn't always apparent, except maybe in instances where a holiday is observed or someone, you know, needs to take a day off or they're wearing a garment or a crucifix, something that symbolizes their faith. In what ways is atheism outwardly apparent and therefore more open to discrimination?
Well, to give an example, Chris Calvi, who is the former president of AHA, which is the Atheist Humanist Agnostics chapter on campus. It's one of the largest secular student groups in the country, very successful. He testified that most of the former presidents and board members of this successful student group do not put their hours and hours of work for AHA on their resume. They're afraid to out themselves as atheists. And, it comes up a lot. If you make an offhand remark and somebody, your supervisor, finds out that you're not religious, then what reprisal could they take? So there's a great deal of fear that you can't be yourself if you're an atheist or non-religious person because you might be discriminated against. So this ordinance would speak to that.
We're talking with Annie Laurie Gaylor. She is the co-president of the Freedom From Religion Foundation. Madison became the first known city in the country to take measures to protect the non-religious from discrimination. And we invite you to weigh in on this. Do such protections need to be in place for atheists and others who don't identify with a specific religious faith? Why or why not? Have you encountered discrimination on the basis of faith or non-faith? You can let us know at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also email us at talk@wpr.org. At a time when religious freedom is hotly debated in other parts of the country, the city of Madison became the first to protect non-religion from discrimination in employment, housing, and public accommodations. We're talking with Freedom From Religion Foundation co-president Annie Laurie Gaylor about these protections and why she believes they're necessary. You can join our conversation at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Are these types of protections necessary? Do you wish you had them in your own city? Or do freedom of religion laws already by association protect non-religion? You can share your thoughts again at 800-642-1234 or email us at talk@wpr.org. Annie Laurie, many people describe Madison as 77 square miles surrounded by reality. And I wonder if this type of initiative would be successful in any other city in the country or any other, there are cities similar to Madison politically, but you know,
I think so.
Madison is often deemed unique and just kind of strange. Do you think that it would be successful elsewhere?
Madison and Wisconsin kind of led the way in gay rights legislation. And that was many, many, many years ago. So it's time. It's time to recognize the growing percentage of the population that is non-religious, that is encountering discrimination. You know, 1 in 5 adult Americans is identifying as non-religious. And, you know, I was telling you during the break, we had a 6-month knockout fight through attorneys back and forth with my local grocer, who was giving away free gallons of milk to customers who had proof that they had gone to a Catholic mass. And here I was standing in line.
Specifically Catholic.
Yeah. So he was discriminating not only against non-religious, but against everybody who was non-Catholic, including many faithful customers such as myself, who had spent, you know, thousands of dollars loyal to a local grocer. And that was a lot of, you know, that's a major benefit. A gallon of milk a week free. And he just didn't get it until finally, you know, with the attorneys, he finally realized, you know, I said, you couldn't do this to white people and then make black people pay more. It's exactly the same kind of discrimination. And so I think that it's very important that this should be adopted around the country. And I do anticipate it's just happened. So we're just getting the word out. But we know there's a lot of secular groups around the country that are very excited about having something positive to organize around.
Let's take a call from Bob in Eau Claire. Hi, Bob.
Hello. How are you today?
I'm well. What's your question?
Well, my question is, doesn't this infringe on the religious rights of those religions, you know, like you just mentioned, the Catholics and the grocer? If the grocer didn't say you have to prove that you're a member of that congregation, I mean, everyone is invited to any Christian church anywhere at any time. And you don't have to be a Christian, let alone a member of that particular sect of Christianity. So if there's somebody that's going to be LGB or atheist or anything coming in there and say, well, we were discriminated against, it's like, no. All you have to do is go to church and get your proof that you were there, to pick up a mass thing there, pick up a weekly program from whatever other church it is, bring it into the grocer and
pretend to be something that you aren't. No, I don't. That isn't lawful. That is a violation of the Federal Civil Rights Act as well as the new ordinance here in Madison. You can't do that. I mean, this is fundamental. 1964, this was passed, and look at why we passed it. The segregation in our country. I mean, this is a very important principle that has to be grasped. You cannot discriminate.
Thanks for that call, Bob. You can join in at 800-642-1234 or email us at talk@wpr.org. Margie joins us from Chippewa Falls. Hi, Margie.
Hi. I'm a atheist, and I'm a member of a very well-known 12-step group. And any time that I say something about not believing in God, there's always someone in the group that's going to have to preach at me. And I just really resent that. Usually I just keep my mouth shut, and when they're done, I just say, well, you know, the best thing about being an atheist is I don't have to proselytize. And but everywhere you go, it's you can't say, I don't believe in God, because people take it as a, like you're saying, they are wrong. And even with my kids and a couple of people in the program, I don't care, whatever works. If you need a higher power, fine, go for it. But I don't need one, and I've been sober for 22 years in this program, and I don't need a higher power to get there. And but if somebody else needs one, that's fine with me. I'm not saying you're wrong.
Thanks, Margie, for your comment. Annie Laurie, what's your response to that?
Well, I think that she's right that so many non-believers, freethinkers, are afraid to come out of the closet because our very presence is seen as some sort of an insult to believers. And we tend to be very, for the most part, respectful, silence ourselves. But people who go to church or religious people don't feel that way at all. It's quite the opposite. As she's pointing out, there's a lot of proselytizing, a lot of preaching. That, you know, what's good for the goose is good for the gander. And here in Madison, when religion is a protected class, it is absolutely proper that irreligion or non-religion should also be a protected class.
But when you're face-to-face with somebody who really doesn't agree with your standpoint on something as deeply held as religion and God, how do you recommend that people respond? How do you constructively articulate your point of view?
Well, it really depends on the circumstances. I mean, it might be something as light as when someone says, bless you after you sneeze, and saying that's a funny thing to say to an atheist, but thank you. You know, there are different ways to go about it. It depends on the circumstance. But certainly, we should have free speech. We should have civil rights, the same rights as every other U.S. citizen. There's a tendency to tie piety to patriotism, and that's very unfortunate, a result of the 1950s entanglements like In God We Trust and putting Under God and the Pledge of Allegiance. But you do not have to have a religion to be an American or a good American, and I think that a lot of people have forgotten that.
In our last minute, is your organization, Freedom From Religion Foundation, planning to take this idea to other cities or states?
Yes, we are going to be working with our chapters. We have about 19 of them, and we're also spreading the word with the growing multitude of secular and free-thinking groups, regional, statewide around the country. There really is great flowering of free thought right now. So we will be proselytizing this particular ordinance.
Annie Laurie Gaylor, thank you for being with us.
Thank you.
Annie Laurie Gaylor is co-president of the Freedom From Religion Foundation.